I'm a yoga teacher, so I really know how to bond with white women. I'm like a whisperer of white women.
Welcome, everybody, to Barefaced Stories.
When my flatmate came home and asked me if I wanted to join her as a phone sex worker, I barely bat an eyelid.
I kind of liked it. I kind of liked the attention. I kind of liked the intimacy.
Andrea Gibbs here, your go-to girl at Barefaced Stories. I'm coming to you today straight from my parents' farm in Donnybrook, but don't let the rural vibes fool you, because today's tale is all about the dazzling world of showbiz. Let me introduce you to Steve Rogers. Picture this, a young, eager actor who just snagged the role of Fat Cherry in the adaptation of Tim Winton's The Eye in the Sky. And get this, his day job now involves hanging out with Hugo Weaving. Yes, the Hugo Weaving, the same guy who brought us Agent Smith in The Matrix, led an army of elves in The Lord of the Rings, and stole our hearts as Mitzi Delbra in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Steve is living the dream. Well, almost. Everything was going peachy until one day the press decided to drop by rehearsals.
Because he's Mr. Famous Guy in the room, cameras are all pointed on him. Photos going off. So I run, and I'm running pretty fast, and I leap into the air, and I'm flying towards him, and I hit him, and he is like a rock, and I feel safe, and I feel protected, and I trust him. And I go, wow, no wonder he's so successful. Then it's my turn.
What happened next with Steve and Hugo? Hold that thought. First, a quick update from home base. Dad's just rolled back from his holiday down at Shane's Beach and is now busy on the farm, but I've pinned him down.
How was Shane's Beach?
Shane's Beach, wonderful. Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I found out that you can turn your gin into such a colourful drink, you know. You have lemon, you have lime, and you have grapefruit. You know, not all in one glass, I would think, but that would look like a rainbow then. But you just want the taste of that old Young's gin. The quality just comes through, you know. It's wonderful, yeah. So refreshing. The sound of the ice in the glass and the lime swirling around. Yeah, go out to old Young's. Give yourself some gin. You won't regret it.
All right, I'll let you get back to work. What are you doing?
Oh, just feeding some cattle, yeah. Got to sweat up too, you know, I need a gin.
Thanks, Dad. What a superstar. And speaking of stars, we're shining a spotlight on celebrity and stardom at our live show at the Rakabite Hall this Thursday, March 28. If you want in, grab yourself a ticket while they last. I'll drop the link in the show description. And now, without further ado, here is Steve Rogers.
I should probably start this story. It might appear like a life story to begin with, but I'll move it quickly once I've started. But my first role was Wee Willie Winkie in about year three. And I was in Dad's nightshirt. I was living in Launceston, Tasmania. It was the Max Fry Hall in Trevallon. And I'm not sure what I did that night, but I got laughs. And it felt, whatever grace is, I felt it. I was floating as a kind of young boy in year three. And the next morning I got back to Mrs. Dilger's class, and a girl, Susan Best, was asked the question, you know, what her parents or grandparents thought. And she said that her grandmother thought the little fat boy with white hair was best. And I didn't feel ridiculed, I didn't feel any pain. I just heard he was best. That lasted for a long time. But as happens to a lot of men in Australia, I didn't put it in my head that that could be something you'd do with your life. Fast forward, and I'm in Canberra, I'm 17, I'm a little bit, I'm enjoying life. I love it, I love school, but I'm not really working very hard. Brekkie bongs in the car park. All of that sort of stuff, but I am enjoying drama classes. And in Canberra at the time, it was a pretty wild year 11 and 12 in the late 80s. You didn't have to go to class, you could smoke, you could, you know, the public education, it was ridiculous. But there was a girl in that class, Kristen Boys, and, you know, very normal trope story. I thought she was beautiful. She didn't know I existed, but I was sensitive, and she was learning speeches for auditions for all those schools, NIDA, WAPA, all of that sort of stuff. And I was thinking about trying to go to ANU if I could get the marks and do an arts degree in political science or something. But as I was learning the speeches with her, I was starting to remember that, you know, this is fun, I really liked it. And my drama teacher at the time said, look, I'd kind of missed at this point all the auditions for the good schools or whatever. But this Western Sydney Uni Theatre Nepean was coming to Canberra. Anyway, cut a long story short, I learnt Hotspur's speech and something else, and I auditioned and got in. And Kristen, who I loved, didn't. So I headed to Penrith, the mecca of acting in Western Sydney. And they were the sort of course who, it was all, you made it yourself. So we're talking late 80s still, and early 1990 I graduated. But in that 3 years I fell in love with the craft. I dug it. I just thought it was so beautiful, really loved it. But then I came out into Sydney, no agent, and I lived the cliché. I washed dishes, I drove cabs, I had worried looks from my parents every Christmas. And I even started to feel it. You know, I was assistant manager at a pub in Annandale at the Vic Hotel, and I was going, fuck, it's not going to happen. It's probably time I faced up to it. I'll go back, I'll get a dip ed, and I'll be a teacher, which I've done anyway. But I, right at that point, I walked into a pub in Balmain, the Dick's Hotel it was called, and an actor who you might or might know, he's kind of semi-famous now, David Wenham, was in there having a beer. And he had gone to the same university as I had, and we got chatting. And he said, oh, and I told him my story, you know, it wasn't working out, I've had enough. And he said, look, they're doing an adaptation of Tim Winton's novel, That Eye the Sky, a beautiful Western Australian book, and they're having trouble casting a role called Fat Cherry. and adults are playing the kids' parts. And he said, You should go for it. And I went, well, I haven't got an agent. I've done nothing. I've been... in fact, at that stage, I was working in a call centre for men with erectile dysfunction. So he said... The guy who was... Richard Roxburgh was directing it, the guy who's Rake on telly. So he wrote down his phone number. This is pre-mobile phone. And he gave it to me. And I went home and I dialed up. I got his answering machine. And I said, hi, Richard. My name's Steve Rogers. I've never done anything, but I am Fat Cherry. And I did that for a week. And then finally I heard from the producer, Jessica Machen. They told me to turn up to the Actors' Centre in Sydney. I went along and indeed I was Fat Cherry. So I got the part. So again, since Wee Willy Winky, I suddenly get that, and also getting into acting school, I've kind of had three of those adrenaline hits where you go, oh, I rolled the dice and it worked. Oh, I rolled the dice and it worked. And, you know, it's not really like that. It's shit. You're on shit pay. You turn up in a dusty hall and you've got to learn lines. It's not glamorous. But as I started to realise that I had a job and I was a working actor, I asked Richard over the phone, oh, who's in the company? And he said Hugo Weaving. Now, to me, he'd just done Priscilla. And so this with all of my out-of-work mates who I was sharing a house with in Newtown at this stage, I've made it. And I walk into this dusty hall in Surry Hills in Palmer Street. They were going to convert an old church, and it was for the Sydney Festival in 1993. So I'm 23, but I'm the nobody in the room. No one knows who I am. And there's other... So there's David, there's Hugo. I could name them. They're all kind of theatre kind of, you know, semi-famous people in Sydney. So I'm pretty quiet. And for some reason, on the bank of seats, they've got Sydney Morning Herald and media already in the room, and Leo Schofield, who's the head of the festival. So they're doing publicity on the first day. And what did you say, Andrea? My DAX. So, like, I'm really nervous. And so I'm just trying to be polite to everyone and say the right thing. And Kim Walker, who was the head of the Sydney Dance then, had been brought in because it was going to be a physical theatre thing, which was, you know, very fashionable in the early 90s. And we're doing all these, you know, that sort of stuff and mirror exercises. And then they said, okay, we're going to do some trust exercises. So what I want you to do is to find someone in the room who's, you know, similar weight. 105 kilograms, Steve Rogers is looking around, not really seeing anyone. And gangly tall Hugo Weaving is there. And so we just kind of sidle up and we're going to do a trust exercise together. Now, the trust exercise was, say this room, it's a hall the length of this room, probably a bit longer, and they put two crash mats down, one at either end. And there's a couple of little smaller trust exercises before this, but the idea was that you would run the length of the hall, throw yourself up in the air, like leap, and the other person would catch you on their chest in a kind of hold. I forget what it was called, like a koala hug hold. And so Hugo and I are looking at each other and I'm going, Priscilla, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, he's famous, I'm not, oh. And so he's the other end and it's decided that I'm going to run at him first. Meanwhile, because he's Mr. Famous Guy in the room, cameras are all pointed on him. Photos going off and they're all watching. So I run and I'm running pretty fast and I leap into the air and I'm flying towards him and I hit him and he is like a rock. He's just got me and I feel safe and I feel protected and I trust him. And I go, wow, no wonder he's so successful. Then it's my turn. So he's at the back and I'm standing there and he runs and he's all legs and arms. And because he's such a great actor, he's just committed. And he's flying at me and he leaps and I take him and he hits and I hold him and then I start to wobble. And then I tip. And as I tip, I fall back onto the crash mat, you know, those old blue mats. I fell back onto the crash mat, but his head was here on top of my shoulder and it followed through and hit the floor like this. And he went, fuck! Fuck! And I'm lying under him. There's cameras going off and blood starts dripping through his hands onto my face. And I open, he takes his hand away and he's got one of those boxer's cuts, which he's split his head from here across to here, like a deep open wound. And I am feeling fucking shit. And they get him up, everyone comes around him really quickly. And seriously, it felt like seconds. He was out of that hall and taken to one of the best plastic surgeons in Sydney. And I'm standing in the room and there's really nice people. Celia Ireland, this woman who's now in Wentworth or something, she's like, she's trying to be nice to me, but I can feel like everyone's keeping a wide berth. And Andrew Gilbert, another guy who's in the cast, kind of said, well, mate, lucky it wasn't you because you'd still be sitting here holding it together like that. And he's fine. Now, to Hugo's credit, he came back in the room and... it was the next day. My pain went all night. I rang Richard and got their landline number and rang his partner, Katie, and just tried to apologise. And she was like, he's fine. Anyway, to his credit, he came in the next day completely mummified. And I could just see his eyes. So he had a sense of humour. I'm not sure where the story ends, other than I got through that play. And if you were to go home tonight... and on your Google Images or IMDb him and just have a little look just here and there's a scar just over there. And I guess like all the other themes, my story was the lightest completely, but grace is here and it can quickly go here, but then it also comes back up again. And 30 years still later, I'm still doing trust exercises. So that's good. Thank you.
The one and only Steve Rogers, straight from the Barefaced Stories stage. A huge thanks to Odette Mercy and her Soul Atomics for our killer soundtrack, Leah Selwood for keeping us connected on socials, and Lewis Martin with his wizardry with photos and videos. You can dive into our YouTube channel for some of his visual goodies. I'm Andrea Gibbs, and I can't wait to bring you another raw, unfiltered story next Tuesday. Until then, stay true. Stay you, and try not to drop an international superstar on their face. Here's to bearing it all without the faceplant. Catch you next time. Now don't be shocked, don't you be mistaken. We're trolling you in and teasing you out. Come every time. You see it in white, then you see it in black. All the things she won't say no.